Did you know that God appointed you to live at this time and has a specific assignment that only you can accomplish? Learn more today on The Believer's Voice of Victory with Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We've got Billy Brim with us this week from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and she is sharing some outstanding, exciting things about the outpouring of the Spirit and the awakening that's in our day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They've been in the past, but the past is present. And
hallelujah.
We're having an awakening all over the world, even as we do these broadcasts and they're aired. They go into how many countries? I forgot how many countries, but lots.
We were looking at
some of the responses we've had. Countries all over the world. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. We were just talking about that when Brother Copeland had that. What year was that? It was the 80s, I know. Early 80s. He had a worldwide communion service.
I think it was. Yeah, it was in the early 80s. 81 or 2.
And I remember you were hooked up with Cho. Mm-hmm. Yonggi Cho,
Dr. Cho,
and others, and it was such a big thing. I think it cost you hundreds of thousands
world
of dollars to do it.
Service.
But we had a world communion service. It was like a breakthrough, because unity is so important in the body of Christ. And I remember that my husband and I were doing a little preaching tour through Tennessee. And we had to drive for hours and hours to get to our church because our church had to be hooked up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have these noontime prayer meetings all over the world, and all you need is a computer.
Isn't that a miracle?
In your own house, and people say, one little lady, she wrote me, I just loved it. She said, it's me and my God in my kitchen and my brothers and sisters all over the world.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, she was from Mississippi someplace.
Boy.
So I just thought that was wonderful how God has arranged these things now. And it's very simple for us to have that noontime prayer meeting. He arranged everything and every one
right.
of the great awakenings.
He's going to get the word out.
He's going to do it. He's caused everything to come. And I want us to read again in James chapter 5. And this is our verse for the week. We're taking the last half of verse 16. We'll probably get to more of the verses around it later on. But we're just doing this part right now. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's King James.
I'm in the King James right now. But
oh, you're
says,
in the King James.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available.
Dynamic in its working.
Much power.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available.
That's
so
right.
That's what happened in the Great Awakenings. Everybody had much power. Made available through prayer.
Power.
Every single one of them were prayers, and that's what we're going to look at when we look at them right now. I recapped for you, and we surely do want you to get the package at the end, because this is part two of the Great Awakening and the Awakening to God package. We did 2 weeks in March, and now it is 2 weeks in June, and amazing things have happened since we did those 2 weeks.
That's right.
But it all started June 1 year ago. Out at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, we were praying in our corporate prayer on Sunday afternoon. We were praying about the upcoming elections in America, which would be in November. We were praying about Israel. We were praying about the nations. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on us in great power and gave us a word from heaven. And the word was this: one thing will save America, and it is not the elections. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the world, the nations. It is an awakening to God. Thoughts went through my head. Part of the thoughts were quickly the best person in the world could be elected president, wouldn't do any good if America doesn't awaken to God.
That's right.
And then other thoughts were American history.
Politics aren't the answer.
No. No man is the answer. No politics. We're way past that. And so American history and the part of prayer. And then our upcoming meeting. We were getting ready to have our upcoming fall prayer meeting, which we have every fall in October in Branson. And the Lord said to us, prepare for that meeting and prepare the people for prayer regarding an awakening to God. And so we did it. And just after that prayer meeting, I went in November to Ireland, Northern Ireland. And there in Northern Ireland, we were at Pastor Paul Brady's church. Paul and Karen Brady in Ballymena, Ireland. And they had put this book in my room, Ireland's Lost Heritage. And so I started to read it, and I found, now God has been talking to me about awakenings, and I found in here a wonderful definition of awakening. It was talking about the awakening that came to them in 1859. In the space of 1 year, 100,000 people were born again in the Great Awakening.
Praise God.
But here it says, what is revival? In parts of America, the word has come to mean little more than a series of evangelistic meetings. But for the sake of this book, it is taken to mean a specific day of visitation.
Mm-hmm.
When God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, moves on the lives of a specific group or groups of people. A visitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Is there any difference then between revival and awakening? A case could be made for saying that there is. For a revival could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people. But an awakening is a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and the non-Christian communities are affected. An awakening affects, well, it's a it's a cultural revitalization. While revivals alter the lives of individuals, awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. And that is definitely what happened in the Great Awakening, out of which the United States of America was born. When I got this word from God and had those thoughts racing through my mind, it was America was born out of an awakening. So I checked the history books, and indeed it is. I have read since then even secular accounts from the academic world, and it is the consensus that the 13 colonies became the United States of America as a direct result of what is called the Great Awakening. One Harvard professor wrote that one cannot understand the colonial society that brought about the American Revolution without a study of the Great Awakening. We know, of course, in American history that the Pilgrims came here, the Puritans, they risked their lives. Their history is amazing. But by the time of what is called the Great Awakening in the 1700s prior to the Revolutionary War, America had become disjointed. The colonies were disjointed. We're talking 1700s. They didn't have good roads. They didn't have a means of communication.
Yeah.
And so they were disjointed until this Great Awakening came. And as I'm studying the Great Awakening and the awakenings that followed, I see how God uses people, how God will use you. If you will surrender to Him to be used in prayer in this that He's about to bring forward and to be used in a dedicated life to God, I saw dedicated lives, I saw prayer. Then He'll use you. And the first one that we have here is Jonathan Edwards. And we went into detail on him in our first teaching. But I'm just going to read you right now from The Great Awakening. This is online, Restoring America Project. The Great Awakening, Part 9. The most important document explaining the Great Awakening was written in 1742 by Jonathan Edwards in his Thoughts on the Revival of Religion. Edwards reflected on why God had sent revival to America and what he expected of its people. He believed that often a great work of God starts in an insignificant place where there's no visible work underway. Hmm. America in the 1740s stood at the edge of the known world, and the American church was barely 100 years old. In fact, people didn't really go to church much because they were surviving. They were building log cabins.
They weren't congregated too much.
They weren't congregated too much. They were unchurched mainly. Edwards sensed that America had a significant place in God's plan for bringing the gospel to the world. Referring to the ongoing revival of faith, he concluded, quote, what is now seen in America and the very uncommon and wonderful circumstances and events of this work seem to be, to me, to be strongly an argument that God intends America as the beginning or forerunner of something vastly great. Now, he's there on the beginning of it, and I'm going to read that America does have a purpose. Would you find Acts 17, 26? Acts 17, 26.
You want it in the Amplified?
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it to you in the King James.
Okay.
And then I want you to read it in the Amplified. Paul had gone to Athens. He had gone up to the Acropolis, Mars Hill. And there he found the Greeks just worshiping everything, a plethora of gods. And he said, I'll start with the 22nd verse, Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now, the Lord impressed me once, find out how I had Paul declare me to pagans. So he starts off with, he's the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwells not in temples made with men's hands. But here's the verse I want to get to, and this is the one I want you to read out of the Amplified.
Okay.
He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined their times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. He made of one blood all men, and he decided the boundaries of the nations they live in and when those nations would come forth. So read it in the Amplified there, please.
And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes, so that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him.
Bless the Lord.
Although he is not far from each one of us.
Hallelujah. There it is. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
But he wants all those nations to wake up to him.
Yes.
He wants them all to wake up to him. Now, he determined when you would come. How all this works, you'll have to ask him. I don't know. But I believe we're here for such a time as this. We came to the kingdom, just like Esther. And he determined where you would be and the nation you would be in. If you're in the Ukraine today, then you are there because God wants you there. And he will use you to pray that men, women, boys, and girls in the Ukraine will wake up to God. Wherever. Now, he did determine that the United States of America, and I believe it's done that. It's been a great missionary nation. It's been able to send out. But it was falling asleep to God. And God had to waken it up, and he did primarily. He started out with this gentleman, Jonathan Edwards. And I'm going to read you here from The Light and the Glory about Jonathan Edwards. And this is from page 241. They have a new book out now. This is by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. They've updated this book. And their subtitle is, Did God Have a Plan for America? So he tells about how the Great Awakening started through Jonathan Edwards. The first place for the first bolt to fall, God chose Northampton, Massachusetts, the little town of the most learned and respected theologian which America had yet produced, Jonathan Edwards. He was a brilliant but reserved and dry Puritan preacher who delivered his sermons in a monotone, all written down, with his eyes never straying from
Isn't
the back wall
amazing?
Of the church. Bless the Lord.
No.
But there was something in his life that God could use.
Anointed.
The phenomenal events could not have been a product of his own personality. He was a well-trained
that
observer.
That should encourage all of us.
Oh, that encourages us. What about you, Glory, when you didn't even want to talk to people?
Oh, no, that's right.
God had to do something. Well, God did something. Praise the Lord. Jonathan Edwards was a well-trained observer, and this is how he observed what happened in the Great Awakening. Narrative of Surprising Conversions is what he titled it. It was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. There were very suddenly, one after another, five or six persons who were to all appearance savingly converted, and some of them wrought in a remarkable manner. Particularly, I was surprised with the relation of a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers in the whole town. When she came, you know what that might mean. When she came to me, I had never heard that she was become in any way serious. But by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified.
Praise
God. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that ever came to pass in the town. I've had abundant opportunity to know the effect of it by my private conversations with many. The news of it seemed to be almost like a flash of lightning upon the hearts of young people all over town and upon many others. Presently, upon this, a great and earnest concern about the things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town and among persons of all degrees and all ages. The noise of the dry bones waxed louder and louder. Those that were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and those that had been the most disposed to think and speak lightly, slightly of vital and experimental religion, were not generally subject to great awakenings. And the work of conversion was carried on in a most astonishing manner and increased more and more. Souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. This work of God, as it was carried on and the number of true saints multiplied, soon made a glorious alteration in the town, so that in the spring and summer following of the year 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It was never so full of love nor so full of joy. People would come from towns around. They would be scoffers. They would come into the town. They would experience the presence of God. They would fall in repentance of their sins. They would take it back to their towns. It spread all up and down the coastline and all of the Americas at that time in this great awakening.
God now, didn't need radio. He didn't need television.
No.
He didn't need anything except himself.
Himself.
People praying and opening the door.
That is so exciting. I'm going to read you about the prayer life now of Jonathan Edwards. We know that it wasn't his manner of delivering his sermons. But this is in The Great Awakening. This is in the book 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie L. Hyatt. The power that accompanied Edwards' preaching was not the result of his topic alone. Preaching on the terrors of hell did not monopolize his messages. He was a very sensitive individual. His preaching derived its power from his prayer life. He would spend whole days and weeks in prayer. It was not unusual for him to spend 18 hours in prayer prior to preaching a single sermon. No wonder they shook with the power of God. It's the power of prayer. Now, power. This is from a book. Somebody gave me this. I don't know who wrote the book or anything. It's called The Potential Power of the Blessing. And it talks about Jonathan Edwards, one of the colonial America's most noted early ministers. And, of course, we've read about what happened in his life. And he had 11 children. When at home, Edwards had a special chair that he sat alone in the evenings. He would sit with his children for 1 hour each day. The smaller ones would sit on his lap, and the older ones would spend precious time with their dad, as together they shared their hearts. Edwards would also pray a blessing over each child every day.
Wow.
Now, he was married once, and his progeny has produced this. 300 ministers, 13 noted authors, 13 college presidents, that's 65 college professors, 100 lawyers and a dean of a law school, 30 judges, 56 physicians and a dean of a medical school, 80 holders of public office, 3 United States senators, 1 vice president of the United States, and 1 comptroller of the United States Treasury. The spiritual seeds planted in the hearts of Edward's children would blossom into a family tree producing spiritual fruit. Now, his life was one that God could use because he prayed. He moved in the blessings of God. The Word of God was central in his life. And God was able then to move down through him.
Generations.
And bring that first great awakening to pass. Tomorrow we're going to look at a little more information on George Whitefield that we have. But I want to, we're emphasizing now the place of the lives, the individual lives of the people and their prayers. Your prayer counts for something.
That's right.
You're effectual, fervent, you're righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us the righteousness of God. And of course we want to live right and judge in our own lives anything that's not given over to God. And in doing that and in praying, God will be able to use you, Gloria. He'll be able to use me. He'll be able to use all those 16-plus nations watching wherever you are. If He did it once, God can do it again.
Amen. Praise God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Awakening to God's presence affects every area of life, our joy, health, relationships, finances, and brings the excitement of living in God's plan. All through history, awakenings to God have shaped entire nations. The Forgotten Patriot tells the story of Haim Solomon and the difference that one man made to help establish the United States. The New York City Noon Prayer Meetings. This firsthand account tells of the gatherings that sparked revival through America and abroad. Revival Fire. Hear stories from revivals spanning the globe and the centuries. Learn how God uses Revival Fire to come closer to us, wake up the church, and transform lives. Awakening to God includes 4 weeks of special broadcasts with Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. Learn to awaken yourself and your family to the higher life God has for you. The same God who brought Revival Fire yesterday will bring it again for this day, tomorrow, and forever. Order your copy of the Awakening to God package today for only $35. For faster delivery, order on our website at kcm.org. To order by phone, call us toll-free at 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order the Awakening to God package and be a part of turning your nation back to God.
Billy, that's so great. Now, what are you going to add to it?
Well, I wanted to add to it what an awakening is. We're going to pray about it in just a minute here. But when we went online to get the definition of the awakening, what is awakening, I was surprised that Answers.com gave the word's origin. They give its meaning, rousing from sleep in a natural or figurative sense, rousing into activity, a revival of religion, or more general attention to religious matters. And they attributed Jonathan Edwards to giving it that connotation as the word origin in 1736. In the winter of 1734-35, the mild-mannered Reverend Jonathan Edwards, minister of the church in Northampton, Massachusetts, was astounded. People actually were listening to his sermons and following his advice.
Think of it.
We are all sinners, he said. Our works will not justify us. God alone is the source of salvation. These words ended the carnal security of his congregation. Their talk turned to nothing but religion, and they began living godly lives, even the vainest and loosest. And it spread, of course, throughout the Connecticut River Valley and then all around. But what I wanted to we're going to pray that people wake up from sleep.
Yeah.
The greatest awakening that ever was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So even the dead all around us can wake up and wake up in time.
I thought it was so interesting as they said people were actually listening.
Actually listening. They woke up. He said it was as if there was a general deadness and then there was a general awakening. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ
pray.
Of Nazareth, we ask you to wake
Thank
up the people
Father.
On the streets. Such a visitation
yes,
of God
Lord.
That as they're walking down the street, they meet God, the Creator, and they fall at your feet and give their lives to Him before it's too late. We see the signs of the time, Father, and we're asking for this because you've touched us to ask for it, so we believe for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, we receive all over the world, we receive as we hear this prayer and we come into unity concerning this awakening. We expect it. We ask you for it. We believe we receive it. We expect it. We wake ourselves up to hear and to do in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
oh, you want to get this package, Awakening to God package. There's great books in here. They're the both of the would-be 4 weeks of broadcasts that we've done on it, and the study of revival and all these good things. You know, get an order a set for your pastor and read it yourself and get it for the elders. I mean, we've got to stir ourselves up to wake up.
That's right.
We shake ourselves and we say, wake up in Jesus' name. Well, one good way is to come to the conventions this summer. The Southwest Believers Convention is August the 3rd through the 8th in Fort Worth, Texas. We want to invite you. We'll have children's services, and they don't just watch movies in there. They get taught ages 6 through 12. We have teenagers 13 through 18. We'll have Spanish translation. We want to invite you to come. We have signing for the deaf. We intend to get the word out. It is six days and nights packed with the word of God. I'm telling you, you wake up when you come to a convention, don't you, Billy?
You've
been to a lot
of
them. And that's a good one. We want to invite you to do that. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention.
It's a time of refreshing.
To get just saturated completely with the Word of God.
Abraham's blessing is mine. The Eden blessing is mine. My circumstance is supposed to look just like the Garden of Eden.
It's life for my children. It's health to my children.
We came to hear from God.
Now that you're in Christ Jesus, then you can walk together with Him in this earth realm.
The more you engage, the more you receive.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. The glory will shine in 2009. Come to the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days of dynamic teaching from God's Word. Come expecting an encounter with God. Super Kid Academy with Commander Kelly will be held for children ages 6 through 12. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.